Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
So, Mike, how are you doing since we have returned to the world as of, you know, earlier this week, coming from this Colorado trip?
I feel a little bit better. It was definitely a rough re-entry into Monday.
Yeah.
Like, that was a hard band-aid to pull off and be a person again.
Yeah.
But I feel like my body has adjusted. The hafe is gone.
That is true. The hafe is gone. I still feel like I'm catching up on sleep. I've had 2 days this week where I've gotten a very good, significant amount of sleep, but I'm still feeling the exhaustion, still running after me, and trying to, you know, give in and give it its time to, you know, find its way. But that's tough.
No, I'm living the struggle bus a little bit too.
Yeah.
I think it's just a lot of catch up on things too now that we're back in the area.
Yeah.
And just feeling like, oh yeah, vacation lifestyle is a beautiful thing.
Because
you can just let everything melt away and forget.
Even
unless you're Dusty Ballard,
who
takes
nothing.
His computer and does work on the trips.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
I know.
I didn't do any. I mean, I did work
did plane
on
work.
The plane.
You did.
On the way
I was
over,
very proud
and
of you.
I didn't do any more.
I know.
I was done.
I was proud.
Thank you.
It was a first in our traveling relationship.
Thank
where you.
Where
you just kept it very tight.
No, I told you, I was like, yeah, I have to finish this report on the plane. And you were like, right. And that means that he's probably not going to finish it. And he's probably going to do it when we get to the hotel, but then he's going to be tired and then he's going to sleep. And then the next day he's still going to do some of it at some point.
Right.
And he's going to put it off and it's going to be an all week kind of thing.
Notice how Dusty just projected all of that onto me.
Even though, am I wrong?
No, not really.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. What is today's episode about, Mike?
Today's episode is a continuation of our second day in Rocky Mountain National Park in the Estes Park section of the park.
We were staying in the Grand Lake section, which is the west side of Rocky Mountain National Park. And we headed over to the east side of Rocky Mountain National Park. And the first thing we did was hike Deer Mountain, which you can hear on the previous episode. And Estes Park was this lovely town on the other side. And we headed over there. It took about 3.5 hours because there is a road that connects Grand Lake and Estes Park.
Trail Ridge Road.
But the road was closed. And if this road had been open, it would have only taken us about 40 minutes.
Right. But it's typical this time of year for it to be closed.
So we had to go the long way around, which was 3.5 hours.
Most locals, I think, said about June, July is when it typically opens and stays open.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was the cross we had to bear that day.
Yes. And but we bore it well.
We did. And we hiked Deer Mountain. We made some new friends. And our new friend, Selena, told us that we should hike Cub Lake.
Yeah.
Looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you there.
follow you, I'll follow you there.
Estes Park was really cute.
Yeah, we didn't really spend any time in it. I think it was part of our like driving tour of the, you know, eastern side of Rocky Mountain. It's like, there's Boulder, there's Estes Park. Here we are.
Right, exactly.
Just like gasps.
It's
in between.
Really, it was really cute, and we could have spent some more time over there if we wanted to.
We talked about doing dinner on that side of the park.
We talked about doing dinner at the Stanley Hotel, which is the hotel from The Shining.
Right.
Also, and Dumb and Dumber. But we didn't end up doing that because we ended up headed back. But yeah, it's right there. You know, you can walk through. Apparently, there are ghost tours that one can take of the Stanley Hotel. Mm-hmm. Apparently, like, there is, like, it is haunted from what I have read up on.
Okay.
And so you've read more than I. Sort of some, you know, paranormalness happening there.
Yeah.
So, if that interests
one. Did ghost hunters go there?
I mean, I don't know.
Or Mythbusters?
Maybe.
All the Discovery Channel shows.
We noticed at the beginning of the Deer Mountain Trail, like, there was no restroom.
Mm-mm.
So, we finished the Deer Mountain Trail, and I was like, I need a restroom.
You
and
did.
We were looking all around, and we were like, I guess we have to go back to the visitor center. Luckily, it was only like a 15-minute drive.
Yeah.
So we drove back to the visitor center and I used it there.
But on the way, we definitely like were kind of impeded a little bit just by traffic. And we were like, what the heck is going on? And the traffic was because there were elk everywhere.
Everywhere. There was this entire field just full of elk. And elk are so beautiful.
I think that's the first time I've seen an elk.
They're like, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And there were, I mean, 30 to 40 elk in that field, I would say. Between that field and like the other side of the field, there were a ton of elk around.
And then, you know, they were kind of clumped in different areas too throughout the rest of the driving around through that day.
But there was something really majestic about them. And I noticed that there was an elk on the patch that we bought. The patches that we bought for Rocky Mountain National Park had an elk on their patches.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, well, I guess there's a ton of elk around. And alas, there were.
And there we are.
They love being photographed and they just love being Instagram celebrities. Mm-hmm. So there were tons of people pulled over taking photos of them.
Yeah, it was a little wild. But they were beautiful. And we got a firsthand experience with them a little later. Actually.
We did a little bit later.
So we actually didn't pull over. We weren't part of the party of people that had, you know, decided to congregate at the elk.
But I did. I was like, please slow down because I want to take some photos of this elk. And you did. And I thanked you for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But we made our way back to the Bear Creek Visitor Center. And when we had stopped in earlier, we had talked to a ranger, or I had talked to a ranger, and had asked about a bunch of hikes because we had actually brought our snowshoes over from the Grand Lake side because we were uncertain of whether or not there'd be the need for them on this hike.
And did we use them at all on this day?
No,
we didn't. So we did pay for a second day of snowshoes, even though we didn't need them.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It was only like $15 for the day.
It wasn't bad.
No, not too bad.
No.
And they were lovely at the store where we rented them from.
They were, but we did, like, when we had met Selena, because I don't think we talked about this on the previous episode, she had these really cool, like, chains, basically, that went over her boots. Yeah. I don't remember what they were called, though.
They were little, like,
They weren't
chains.
Crampons. They were, like, a snow chain for your boot that just basically gave you traction to dig into the snow.
And we were both like, we must have those.
And she's like, they're, like, $70. And we're like, we don't need them right now.
We don't need them right now. But, yeah.
Because we knew we weren't also doing any more snow hiking when we were there.
Right.
But I talked to that same ranger and I was like, listen, there's no snow over there on Deer Mountain. He's like, okay, great. Because the ranger in Grand Lakes.
Oh, well, I mean, there was some snow.
But I mean, there wasn't snowshoeing snow.
No, there definitely wasn't any of that.
Because when we talked to the ranger in Grand Lakes, she was like, you might need them over there, especially like on this side of the mountain or in this hike, which she had recommended a bunch. So we actually, I think I stayed in the car and you went in and you did the recon.
I did. I used the restroom and then I would talk to the ranger about how to get to Cub Lake. And she explained to me how to drive there, which involved like taking like an exit off the road to go toward a campground and then taking a road off of there. And then that would lead you there.
And I was doing some research on my phone because I was getting some good signal. And there was actually a really great website that we had found when we were hiking in the Smokies, and it was called like Hike Smoky Mountains or something. And this was like a companion site or a site run from the same people as the Hike Rocky Mountains. And they have really good like trail information.
Yeah.
All Trails is something that we also tend to use sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they also have some good hiking information.
And you can like download the hike on your phone.
Right.
So you can have access to it at all times. So that way, if you don't have service,
then, you know, you can utilize it.
Right.
Right.
So we drive all the way to the trailhead for Cub Lake, which only takes us like 12 minutes or something.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
No.
Again, we're seeing more people pulled over because there's more elk on the side of the road.
And we're slowing down to take more photos too.
Because we need them photos.
I do love
these elk want to be Instagram celebrities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
clamoring for agents.
So we get to the Cub Lake trailhead, and at this time it was warm. Like, we had hiked, you know, Deer Mountain right before that, and it had been, you know, fairly...
It was pretty gray in the morning.
It was pretty gray. It was sort of like 70-ish.
No, less than that.
Really?
You're talking to like the weather king over here. Oh,
well, you mean the weather queen.
That's right. The weather queen. No, it was cooler. We were like definitely layered up. But like as we started to head back down Deer Mountain, the sun like actually popped out and it did get to be like mid to high 60s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With a light and variable wind from the southwest. Well,
there we go. Great.
And a chance of showers that was 10%.
So,
the moonrise was at.
On the way back down from Deer Mountain, it had been a little warmer.
Yeah.
I do remember that. So, when we were at the Cub Lake Trailhead, I was like, you know what? I am just, it's going to be warm. So, I'm not going to like take all these layers. So, I just wore my tights and my hiking vest, which I got for this trip for the first time, which I love.
Living that best lifestyle.
I do love this you little hiking vest.
I invested.
I definitely did.
You did.
And it was a little hiking vest with some zip pockets, which is perfect for, you know, a phone and important things. And so I just wore the tights and the vest on this hike.
Yeah.
And then we got on our boots and then we set off on this trail.
Yeah.
And with that, let's take a break.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
All right, Mike, we're going to play the vault.
Great.
Which means you get to choose three. Things you get to put in the vault that will remain there forever, and everything else is forgotten.
It's burned.
Forever.
Burned forever.
You get to put three trail snacks in the vault.
Oh,
only three. Which ones do you select?
I definitely would pick like a peanut butter trail mix because that just like sets my heart on fire. And it does me good. I also feel like some sort of builder's bar or cliff bar type thing. So because you were like preaching the gospel of builder's bars this last trip by cliff
bars, you know I was.
Which are delicious and they do the job. I feel like that would be it. And then I also feel like because we are often like lacking on our protein, some real good beef jerky of some sort.
Oh.
Those would be my... I've eliminated all fruit from the possibilities of this, but that's okay. Unless it's in the trail mix. That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I love how, you know, like trail mix traditionally is like dried fruit and nuts.
Right.
But the trail mix that we bring with us is just candy.
I don't know that. That's not true.
No. It's not true. But I'm saying the trail mix you put in the vault was just like...
Oh, I put in the vault.
You put in the candy vault trail candy mix. Trail mix.
No, yeah. We have some really good Aldi trail mix.
We have some really good trail mix.
Shout out
that
to Aldi.
Is dried fruit and right. nuts, but we also do have the candy trail mix. And right. by candy trail mix, I mean it's like you get it and it's like pretzels and peanuts and chocolate chips and peanut butter chips.
Right. It is candy.
And like an M&M knockoff mm-hmm. and then maybe raisins.
Right.
Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
what is just, that? That's a handful of candy.
It's just sugar.
It is. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Sorry. So I did put like, that was like a gluttony kind of thing right there.
Great.
What about you?
The vault exists only, you know, once at a time. So in this version of this game, I like my trail snacks will also be the only ones ever remembered. They won't be remembered as well as yours. So
no, okay.
There's going to be a little bit of crossover here.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying, which is, the Clif Bar Builder's Bar peanut butter mm-hmm. bar. Oh my God. I live for those. Mm-hmm. And yes, these are the ones I have turned you on
yeah.
to.
I mean, you can turn me on to peanut butter anytime. Peanut
Any
butter turns me on.
Time. So there's that. I'm going to be specific about the trail mix.
Okay.
Some of that death by trail mix that you created once upon a time on our Florida road trip.
Guess what? We have a road trip coming up. So I'm going to make that death by trail mix.
If you don't, I'm going to come for you in the middle of the night and cut up your wigs. Seriously, though.
Because you know I need them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
I'm going to have to talk to my friend TJ and, you know,
right.
take a trip there.
Exactly. And then finally, I'm going to put in bananas.
Okay, that's
bananas
fair.
Save me often on the mm-hmm. trail because like that hint of potassium, I mean, it's not a hint, it's sort of like a, you know, an injection of potassium mm. does often give me like the energy to like get through the next leg.
Right, right. So we get out at this trailhead and actually we had kind of driven and I was like, oh my God, this is the trailhead. And you're like, well, there's no parking. Let's like keep going down further. And of course, in my panicked Libra, I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have to walk really far to this trailhead. And lo and behold, we found a parking spot and you just like threw your hands up and we're like, well, look at this, aren't we? Just at the trailhead right now.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because this Libra has got the nerves.
My mother, because my mother, growing up, whenever we would pull into a parking spot, she would go, thank you, Lord, for the very close parking spot that you have saved for me. I thank you in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like she would like trap God to like provide her a parking spot.
Yes, trap God.
She just like trapped him, mm-hmm. right? So internally, I think I just like always say that now, mm-hmm. just like a second nature whenever I pull into a parking lot. Surprisingly,
so you can trap God.
Right. So I can, right.
Yeah.
I guess it's not trapping. It's more just like expressing gratitude and mm-hmm. hope, putting it out in the universe right. that's what you want. And mm-hmm. so like that is what she did. And so I feel like it is just now in my nature to do that.
Yeah.
It was like, no, we're going to find a parking spot that's closer. And we did.
We did. And so we got out, we kind of geared up and like Dusty said, he was just travel vest ready. And we headed out on this hike, which involved crossing like a small bridge.
Yeah, and it was a small wooden bridge. At the beginning of this hike, it was very flat. Like incredibly flat, very mm-hmm. flat. You're like going over just like a field.
Yeah. And actually it's like, it's almost felt like, not like a floodplain, but there is a river that's running along. There were actually a bunch of people that we saw kind of off trail, like kind of following the river. And we were like, this seems strange. But then realized that all those people were like fly fishing.
We
saw a ton of fly fishermen right at this like stream, river.
This trail it could connect to other trails if you wanted it to.
Right.
The only way to really like get back to the car would be to either like do some sort of like epic 20 to 30 mile loop
right.
or come just back
there and back
just it. To there and back it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we, you know, kind of take this long meander out to Cub Lake, and Dusty's right. It is pretty flat for the most part.
At the beginning, it was very flat.
And yeah.
And then there's sort of like a hill area, and you end up sort of going up this hill, winding up it, and then you go down on the other side, mm-hmm. and like then you're sort of right back into flat land,
right? And you're the whole time you're kind of like in this kind of wide expanse of field, so you're kind of coming around this like ridge, this like rocky kind of ridge that you're up and down, and to your left you're seeing just kind of this vast expanse kind of back towards the road that we had come to,
right?
This open field with the river in it. And then you kind of round this corner,
and then you round the corner to the right, and when you round the corner it's like you see this like gorgeous view of these like Rocky Mountains in the distance. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So spectacular. And you've got like floodplain and then these gorgeous mountains, right, in the distance. At various spots right around here, there were some people sort of just like lounging on some big rocks,
yeah,
and just like taking in the sunshine and the warmth.
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of people on this trail hiking in sneakers. And I do feel like if you were gonna do it, like, I feel like this would definitely be the hike to do in sneakers.
Yeah, it did get a little muddier like along the way.
A little
later. It was spring, so this is Estes Park didn't have as much snow on the ground as what we had experienced in Grand Lake. Even though Colorado had like record snowfall this year, it seemed like most of it had been cleared up on that side of the park. I'm pretty sure that's what, you know, the ranger had told us too, that, you know, obviously it was all over the news that there was like big snowfall out there this year, but it had pretty much cleared there. So sneakers are an option. They're always an option.
I was glad I had on
there's
my
always
boots
people that also, you know, hike in their bare feet, like,
oh,
we've seen
that
before.
Is true.
Not I on this trail, but
not recommended on this trail.
Yeah.
We're making our way across this flat area, down this floodplain. I mean, we're not headed down, but we're headed across this floodplain. There were some people who were passing us, and they were like, oh yeah, there's like three elk right up there.
Right.
We're going to see a few.
Well, we saw one, and we stopped, and there was like, mm-hmm, three people and like a couple. One of them was a couple with a baby.
Oh yeah,
and
that's
they were
right.
Like, oh, look at this elk. And they're like, there's actually like two more, just like up a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was such a cute baby.
Yeah. And the elk was beautiful. Again, it was kind of like nice to not have to like have stopped before to like make a big stink about like getting out of the car on the roadway to see the elk, because we really did get a chance to experience that. Like, look at the national park opening up to us.
Exactly.
And just like
and
giving
they
us what
were,
we needed.
They were, you know, these elk were in their natural environment,
yeah,
right here, you know, just eating.
Waiting to be photographed for Instagram.
Waiting to be photographed. And so from there, there was that one elk that we saw. Mm-hmm. And then we walked a little further and we saw those other two.
Right.
And those other two were...
They were grazing.
They were just grazing. Yeah. They were just so relaxed.
Right.
You know, we got some photographs of them. Mm-hmm. So we continued on this flat trail.
Right.
And then eventually, the trail got a little bit steeper.
Right. Originally, they had said, I think the trail was like... It was only a few hundred feet elevation gain. Was it like between 3 and 5 somewhere? I can't remember exactly numbers, but we're like, huh, I wonder where this elevation gain is, because it was a lot of up and down in the beginning. A little over some rocky area, but then like a flat burst, and then a little bit more rocky area, and then a flat burst.
Yeah.
And we're like, where
and
is this
you
gain?
You had said, you were like, well, maybe it's like, maybe they were just like measuring like, you know, how much like you go up each time. And I was right. Like, doubt it, girl. I think it's like, you know, they measure one spot and that's it. So, especially after Rocky Mountain had no bathrooms and no signage, I was like, no, they didn't like deep cut, you know, combine all of these like
Rocky Mountain's not doing us any favors, basically.
So we were like, okay. So then we essentially hit all of the uphill of this trail.
And this is where snow kind of comes back into the picture again, too. This is where we're also seeing some like running water that's crossing the path that, you know, is just natural with this melt. There are some areas where like that water is diverted. It's either like somehow under the trail or it's somehow just like around it and you naturally have to go over it. But a lot of it, I think, is because of that spring melt. And as we kind of climb, we're starting to kind of get into the trees a little bit more. Whereas we were in, as much as we were on the trail and under trees, it's very open to our left and right. As we're starting to climb, you're just like, now you're kind of entering into forest land, especially.
Yeah, essentially. And like there is snow along the pathway now.
Yeah.
And so you're sort of stepping onto snow. There were times where, you know, you sort of step in the snow, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't snowshoe snow again. It was
definitely not snowshoe worthy. And it wasn't very thick either.
No. And I think that the trail was actually moderately, like, more so, I would say, than Deer Mountain, like pretty crowded. Like there were a lot of people out. I think it was also like, oh my God, it ended up being a really pretty day. And so a lot of people were out. Plus it was the weekend of National Parks Week. So parks were free and it started to get a little bit more jammed later that we were there. So it was great to see a lot of people because there's sometimes that we hike and we
see nobody. And it's I always like it when we see people.
I do appreciate like that kind of quiet solitude as we're hiking and there is nobody, but it is nice to kind of like see somebody, get to talk to them for a little bit and know that there are actually other people out here.
Right.
And
right.
That's something that was a really important thing for us on a later hike on this trip.
So we finally climb up all of this elevation, which was like 400 feet.
That's what I said. I think it was somewhere between 3 and 5. Yeah.
I think it's 450. And so, and then we finally arrive at Cub Lake, which Cub Lake is on your left.
Yeah. We had to kind of travel over. There was a bigger area of snow. And then remember there was that hitch for horses off there to our right. And that's where like there was a divergent trail that you could kind of take.
Yeah.
That would go to the campsite. And then there was also like a trail offshooting that, I believe.
Right.
So that was like, that was our first kind of hit, like our first kind of landmark that we saw on the trail. And then you're right, like a little further down, like I think 5 or 6 minutes, because we saw people like as we were heading back, and that's what we told them.
Yeah, yeah.
Cub Lake is there on the left.
And when we arrived at Cub Lake, like we had to descend. We wanted to get near the water.
Right.
So we descended down a little bit closer to the lake. And the lake was just this like beautiful, very still water.
Mm-hmm.
That was clear and with the mountains just over to the right.
Right.
And with that, let's take another break. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, it's time for Drag Queen Corner. Please welcome to the stage, Miss
Penny Tagliatelle.
All right, Penny Tagliatelle, her name is taken from a combination of two pastas, penne and tagliatelle.
Which I think was a clue in one of the trivia books that we were doing.
Yes.
And it was like, something about listing different pastas, and they were literally right in a row. So shout out to whatever trivia book that was.
Exactly.
For giving us Penny Tagliatelle.
Yeah.
Who is Penny Tagliatelle?
I feel like she's the queen with the talk show.
Okay.
I mean,
like a Wendy Williams type?
No. Like a cooking show.
Oh, a cooking show.
Yeah. Italian cooking show.
So she's like Giada?
Kind of, if Giada, you know, were a little, you know, had more of a sense of humor.
Okay.
I think Penny Tagliatelle is like, she's got like dark hair and like a really big sort of like ponytail in the back. She's very Italian.
Yeah.
And
you'd have to be with a name like Penny Tagliatelle.
I feel like her wardrobe is inspired by the like red and white checkered picnic pattern.
Okay. See, I feel like she has many outfits that are, have like really fun, like food prints on them.
Oh,
so
yeah?
Like if she's cooking like a lasagna one day, like her outfit or her apron would have like little lasagna print on it, somewhere. Or she would have like really cool brooches that would be like food-based brooches.
Yes.
I also feel like she's a comedy queen. So 100%.
You can't have like a TV show. I mean, I guess Giada does, but I guess I was going to say you can't have a cooking show without having some kind of sense of humor.
But I feel like it's like a la Seinfeld, like beginning of opening of old Seinfelds. Like, have you ever seen these foods on airplanes? What's the deal with that? But like more Italian, like that's her cold open.
So she has,
she does like a little stand up cold open.
She has a stand up cold open before she gets into, I like this.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. And I think she is just like this kind of like,
I think she also,
she's a force to be reckoned with.
Has a bit where she like travels through like different places,
okay,
to find the ingredients. Like she'll like travel through different areas,
okay,
of like, it's also kind of a travel show where, okay, she like finds the ingredient, like I'm gonna go to this place and get this olive oil, or okay, I'm gonna go to this place and get this Parmesan cheese at this special place, like that kind of thing.
Okay, I like that actually.
Yeah.
What song does she sing?
Oh,
what does she have to lip sync to?
I'm gonna go musical theater here.
Great.
And I think that she lip syncs When You're Good to Mama from Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that feels right.
It feels right.
Yeah.
You know.
Want a lot of gravy.
Exactly.
Taste of my ragu.
No, pepper my
ragu.
That's it. Yeah.
You if got you're it. Good to mama.
Yes. Penny Tagliatelle will be good to you.
Yeah.
Yes. So, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage
Miss Penny Tagliatelle.
So we sat there at the banks of the Cub Lake.
Yep.
And we ate some snacks.
Yeah.
I think we knocked back a whole bag of trail mix.
Yeah.
I want to say I felt like this trip in particular, we would say like, oh yeah, get out the trail mix, we'll have a bite or two, and we would just kill the bag
right,
sitting right there.
Yeah.
And we did that on this trip.
Oh, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting at Cub Lake because it's so interesting to see the part that fire plays in a national park. And again, this is like stuff that we've just learned and seen over our trips and kind of continue to see as we go along. Fire does play like a really important role. As destructive as it can be, it really does help with the life cycle of a forest.
And yes, it was part of the natural right, life cycle of a forest.
It was really clear to see that like a lot of the trees that were, because like we were at Cub Lake, we were kind of like, there were mountains, peaks on each side of the lake, yes, basically. And the side directly opposite from us had a lot of just like burned trees. So it was really clear because a lot of things had started to flower and bloom, and these were just very dead looking. So it was kind of a little bit more of a somber, like not as lush scene there. I'm sure like in later spring, summer, it's like really lush and beautiful. But the lake itself was a really like nice way to kind of end our hike and
yeah,
have a nice and turnaround
end our
point.
Day.
Yeah, and,
exactly,
and end our day. And it was such a great suggestion. Selena had said too that she's like, I always see wildlife on this hike. And, you know, the elk were like such an important part, I think, of the hike because they really just were so beautifully placed and mm-hmm. beautifully situated in that surrounding area there, which did add to the experience, because we've seen wildlife before, but
yeah.
nothing really that big and that close,
no.
I think.
And speaking of wildlife, there were also a lot of, just down the bank from us, were some really hot dudes.
Who yeah, were all
also
the,
sitting listen, there. All the cuties,
were out. It was like cutie central and Rocky central. Mountain that day.
It was.
It was like everyone we passed was like, oh.
Somebody got the memo.
Yeah, they were
somebody
like.
Somebody sent the memo.
They were
and
like,
they all
cuties come out.
Cuties be out. Be out.
That's right.
So they were there.
Yeah, they and were there in full force.
Yes. Yeah. There were so many of them.
Yeah.
So we.
Speaking of wild animals.
So we left there, we left Cub Lake and we started to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start heading back down toward, you know, like we got to now turn around and do the downhill version of the uphill that we just did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had, like, we had to go downhill in the snow and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't too
bad.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad at all.
All of it
was
super fine. And, like, you know, we ran into a couple of people coming in and...
All the cuties. Right. We had also passed, like, two girls at one point, like, heading out, and then we were heading back. It was, like, right at that juncture for the campsite, and they're like, oh, hey, we saw you going out. They're like, you guys have long legs. And we're like, yeah, I know. We're sorry.
There was also this cute guy that wished just a happy 420. Because
what day it was. Oh, yeah, it was 420.
And we were like,
he was like, happy 420, guys.
We're like,
yeah, like, okay,
of course.
Great. It is Colorado. Here we are.
Yes,
yeah.
Here we are and all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and all the glory of it.
So.
So, yeah, that was like interesting. But, yeah, we kind of like start to descend back down. And I think at this point I think the tired had definitely hit me a little bit. We, you know, had done a very exhausting day the day before. And then we drove 3.5 hours in the morning and did, you know, Deer Mountain wasn't a strenuous hike by any means, but it did take a little bit out of us. And then we did this, and I think it was also like second day, so we're still getting our like hiking legs back.
Right.
And so I was ready, like I was kind of on the tired side
yeah.
at that point.
So we're making our way back, and we see the elk again.
Yeah.
The elk are now to our right.
And they're all together, these three at this point.
Right, but they were closer to the trail. At least one of them was.
Right.
One of them decided he was just going to like plop down and sit and like be his like majestic self.
Right.
Like sitting there just like with the gentle breeze flowing through him. Like I took all these photos of him and I was like, I want to just be very quiet.
Right.
Like we both were like that. We were like, we want to be very, very quiet.
Right.
And like we don't want to like do anything
right.
that would, you know, upset this animal.
Right.
And we weren't like super close, but we were about like 25 feet from him.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't leave the trail at all. He was close to the trail, but not close that like I could reach out and touch him by any means.
No.
It is never a good idea to approach a wild animal.
Period.
Talk about that.
So also,
respectful distance is where it's at, folks.
They say that more people in Rocky Mountain get injured or die because of an animal attack because they have tried to approach an animal.
Right.
So elk will leave you alone if you leave them alone. So we left them alone and took some, you know, glorious photos of them.
Right. And well, before we left the elk, there was another guy that like came up the trail. And he was like, you know, looking at the elk as well. And we exchanged like hellos. And he's like, I was like, oh, there's actually some more elk up that way. Like if you keep going, he's like, oh, well, just wait until you keep going down the trail. Cause there's a pretty big surprise for you waiting.
And we were like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
So we were curious about this.
Yeah.
So we kept walking and so we're walking around the corner and then we see kind of off in the distance in this small little
pond. Yeah.
There was something standing in there.
And that was close to the roadway or close to the trail.
Whatever that is looks big.
Yeah. Bigger than the elk.
Bigger than the elk. So we get a little closer and it was
a moose. And I've never seen a moose before.
I mean, you know, Bullwinkle.
Right.
That's really it. So, but no, I'd never seen a moose in real life. And this moose was like dipping his head into the water, drinking something, and then lifting his head up.
Yeah.
And then he kept looking all around. So we approach, I mean, we don't approach the moose, but we approach like
the trail part.
The part of the trail near where the moose is.
Right.
And so we, you know, I took some videos and I took some photos, and then coming down or up the trail the other way is this tiny little girl who was so excited to see this moose.
Right.
Turned around and told her parents. She was like, oh my God, it's a moose. And
she was like three or four.
She was like literally three or four. So she starts just running directly toward where this moose is in this water. And I was like, oh my God, she cannot go near that moose.
Right.
No. I cannot have this happen.
Yeah.
And so I thought I was going to have to, you know,
step
in and be a parent for a second. Right. But luckily, like, her parents were like, oh, no. And she stopped. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, thank God.
Because,
you know, like, I just want her to be safe. But she obviously was really excited to see this moose.
Yeah.
Well, I was too.
Yeah. The funny thing about the moose too, and I guess this is typical, and I guess maybe it was like, you know, looking for like food or something in the water, it would dunk its head and stay like and kind of route around in the pond for a little bit, and then it would like come up really quick, and it would like, I felt it like just kept looking at me. It was like the Mona Lisa. Its eyes just kept following me.
Mm-hmm.
And all this just water would drip down. It's like moosey beard is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah, his moosey beard.
His moosey beard.
He was a moose. He did not have any antlers.
No.
I mean, it could have been a she.
Yeah. Sorry. I mean, why are we like, you know, gender personifying?
We shouldn't be gendering this moose.
Yeah.
But yeah, this moose had no antlers. And, but yeah, it sort of just had this very kind of like stoic, kind of blasé attitude about just everything.
And but it was very like aware of its surroundings.
Very
and aware that there were people around. And I think, I don't feel like I felt threatened by the moose, but
no.
I thought the moose was more situationally aware than the elk were, who seemed pretty lazy and chill.
Right.
Like this moose was like, all right, I got to do this thing. I got to put my head into the water. And I'm going to look up and make sure that, like, I'm not being threatened, like, every time.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And whereas the elk were just like, whatever, I'm just going to chew my cud over here.
I'm just going to be, like, super majestic over here. So, you know, after we have our moose moment, we kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, wind our way back around the embankment. And then we head back over the little hill. And then we, you know, are back onto flat land. And there's still people fly fishing.
Right. And there's still people coming out on the trail, too.
And there, like, yeah. And by this time, it was evening. And I was like, I don't know that I would, like...
It wasn't dark, though. I think
no,
it was, like, around 4.
I mean, I'm not... I'm less interested in hiking in darkness.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know that I would go out on this trail at this time. But
well, I think the trail only took us about 2 hours to do, like 2.5 maybe.
Yeah, it was like an hour out, an hour back.
Yeah.
We stopped a lot to gawk at a moose.
Yeah. To do some moose gawking. But like, yeah, it wasn't that bad. So it kind of made sense. Again, it was a beautiful day, and it was that kind of first day of National Parks Week where it started to be like a free, it was the free weekend. So I think a lot of people were in and looking for an accessible hike. And I do feel like, especially based off of like the amount of kids, because we did see a lot of kids on the hike. We saw a lot of parents with kids hiking, whether they were backpacked in or whether the parents were carrying them a little or they were actually walking alongside. Like I felt like it was a pretty like doable hike for a family, like, which was nice.
Absolutely.
You don't always get that in a park. So it's kind of nice when you see that, but I also did feel like you had to kind of work a little bit at the hike too.
Oh,
like,
sure.
It wasn't just like a given. It wasn't like,
no.
You know, Mirror Lake in Yosemite where it's like, hey, this is paved and you can walk out to
it. Right, exactly. Like, no, there was some work involved.
Yeah, there was.
But as we got back to the car, we, you know, were unpacking and stuff. And as we got in the car to drive out, we noticed that people who were coming out of the trail with us had to park almost an additional mile away from the trailhead.
Right, where I thought the original trailhead was.
Right.
Right.
So that is where we would have had to park had we not had that parking spot.
Right.
Okay, let's put the Cub Lake Trail on the Karen Stone scale. So how many Karen Stones do you give to the Cub Lake Trail, Mike?
I'm going to give her a 4.
A 4?
Yeah.
Why 4 Karen Stones?
I feel like, I was saying before, I feel like she was like an accessible hike. She wasn't like, I feel like a 5 is like moderate, but I don't think like she was moderate. I feel like she was on the higher end of easy. You know what I mean? Like she was just shy of being like a middle of the way hike.
I understand. Yeah. I too am going to give her a 4.
Okay, great.
Because so she is an 8 out of 20.
Yeah.
But yeah. 8 Karen Stones out of 20. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's, that hike is like mostly flat. You got, I mean, one could do that hike and enjoy that hike and probably see some animals.
Right.
By just doing the flat stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have that option to hike up to the lake if you wanted.
Right. And then like some connectors off of that if you wanted to. Like, I feel like if you started early at Cub Lake, you could do a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lots of lovely mm-hmm. connectors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she gets an 8 yeah. out of 20. And
beautiful.
Now it's time for some Jeopardy.
It is time for some Jeopardy. In my game of Jeopardy, which is titled Sashes, Crowns, and Pageantry, you're going to be needing to guess the queen that I'm describing. Now, all of these queens will start with the word Miss, so like Miss America, but Miss will be the starter of a compound word that will actually spell a word. So, for example,
Keep going.
Misunderstanding.
Okay.
Get
I got it.
Okay, great.
Okay, cool.
All right. So Sashes, Crowns, and Pageantry for 100.
I'm ready.
During the interview portion of the pageant, this queen would deftly handle the questions from the MC as she has overseen voir dires aplenty in her lengthy career in the legal system, even if it has been marred by tons of invalid cases because improper procedure being followed. Nothing can stop this beauty from inspiring Dick Wolf's new show, Law & Order Death Drop Unit.
What is Miss Judge?
I'll accept Miss Judge. I was looking for Miss Trial.
Oh, Miss Trial.
Ladies and gentlemen, like welcome to the stage, Miss Trial.
I'd like that.
Great. Sashes, Crowns, and Pageantry for 200. A master linguist, this pageant queen would dazzle the audience with her singing ability in multiple languages. Unfortunately, as she transferred from Italian to French in the third verse of ABBA's Dancing Queen, the word tambourine accidentally became penis, making the lyric, feel the beat from the penis, yeah, mamma mia, here we go again.
What is mistranslate?
That's correct. Okay. Mistranslate for 200. Sashes, Crowns, and Pageantry for 300. This queen would dazzle the audience during the swimsuit portion of the pageant with a transformation from a suit made of copies of the New York Times to a swimsuit made of tabloids and gossip rags.
What is Miss Reed?
I'm looking for misinformation.
Oh, okay.
But I like Miss Reed. Miss Reed, I'll give you some credit for Miss Reed.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Sashes, Crowns, and Pageantry for 400. This witchy queen would call upon the spirits of the world, like that head in the crystal ball of Disney's Haunted Mansion ride, summoning the forces from the ether while chanting, light as a feather, stiff as a board. Instead of rising from the stage, she would burst into uncontrollable laughter as her spell backfires and harasses her with feathers instead of rising her into the air as intended.
Oh. God, I don't know.
Think about what feathers would do to your feet.
Miss Tickle?
That's correct, Miss Tickle.
I don't know that I would get Miss Tickle from that one, but okay, I'll
all
give
right.
it to you.
Well, I was trying to work both angles there.
I see.
Do you see what I was doing?
Oh, like mystical.
Mystical and tickle.
Miss Tickle.
Got it.
Now I get it.
You get it. Okay.
Thank you.
I know it's a little, this was a hard one for me.
Okay, great.
All right. And
for
Sasha's pouch. And the $500 clue. By far the most yawn-worthy contestant of the pageant, this tax accountant by day, queen by night, would gravely underestimate the rigors of the group dance aerobics routine to Let's Get Physical, and both her wig and tuck would come undone, unseating her entirely from the second half of the pageant. This tax accountant by day.
Right. I
gravely misunderstanding.
I don't know.
who is Miscalculate.
Oh. All right.
Sashes, all right. Crowns, and pageantry for 500.
That was it. Okay, Miscalculate.
Miscalculate.
All right,
I'll give
it to you. All right, it is time for my category.
Great.
Okay, so I was inspired by the name Cub Lake for my category. So there is this absolutely perfectly ridiculous, useless thing in gay culture where we like assign body shapes, like animal names. I can't stand it, right? Like people who are larger and hairier are called bears, and people who are younger than them are called cubs, right?
Right.
So to make...
And skinnier are called otters.
Right. To make fun of this, to make fun of this, I have created new gay body stereotype terms.
Great.
So you have to guess the animal term based on the clue.
Can I tell you, this is a funny thing, because my original Jeopardy for this was about Cub Lake too, and I just couldn't get it to stick, but I wanted you to have to guess like animal baby names.
Oh, fun.
Because a cub, you know, is a small bear.
I like that.
But I couldn't like work it, and so I went with Sashes, Crowns, and Pageantry.
Great. Which I liked
also
for the most part.
Also say that five times fast, because it's hard.
It is hard. Sashes, Crowns, and Pageantry. Okay, here we go. New gay terms for 100.
Okay.
This crustacean term refers to a gay man who stays out too long in the sun and deals with the consequences, but is so unhappy about it that his general attitude becomes as sharp as claws.
What is a crab?
Close.
What is a lobster?
What is a lobster?
See, I was going to say lobster, but then I got thrown because of like sharp like attitude.
Lobster
and being
has claws.
I know, but like usually crab,
and
crab.
200.
Mm-hmm.
This scavenger mammal term refers to a gay man who tries to rob a store while wearing an eye mask, but can't open the door, so decides to eat garbage out of the outside trash can, all before getting caught by a car headlight.
What is a raccoon?
That is correct.
Great.
I have to say, I think I've avoided, I have been a lobster before, but I think I've managed to, as
avoid
far as dating
raccoon.
Goes, avoid raccoons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on. 300. This aquatic animal term refers to a gay man who can arrive at a party and quickly disappear into the background.
What is a squid?
Correct. Squids camouflage. 400. This land animal term refers to a gay man who's colorblind and has terrible gas.
What are Mike and Dusty?
No. What is a skunk?
A skunk, okay.
A black and white skunk, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we go. And last clue for 500. Mm-hmm. This flying insect term refers to gay men who only sit on porches and only come to life when a light is turned on.
What is a moth?
Correct.
There we go.
I've been a moth before.
Yeah.
I do enjoy
living that Mississippi
porches.
Life.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Porch setting all day long.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks, or email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.
Join us for our next episode of Gaze at the National Parks, where we hike the Grand Lake section of Rocky Mountain National Park.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park, that we were on the traditional lands of the Ute, Apaho, Comanche, and Cheyenne Indian tribes.